dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is your host, Frank Gaffney, your guide for the war of ideas, which we wage here each weekday, and we are delighted to have you with us for that purpose. Also, to have with us some of the best in the business when it comes to defeating our enemies in this war of ideas, and for that matter, those who are waging other kinds of war against us as well. And today we will be joined by several of those best in the business. Brad Thor, the New York Times number one best-selling author, actually, will be joining us to talk a little bit about his new book, Foreign Influence, but also about a story that he's broken at biggovernment.com, one of our sister sites at bigpeace.com, the story of Mullah Omar and what his apparent capture by Pakistan means for all of us, as well as Brad Thor's insights into the Russian spy swap, which went down last week. Then we'll be talking with Congressman Trent Franks, one of the truly great Americans in the United States House of Representatives. Hailing as he does from Arizona, we'll be visiting with him about border security, very much uppermost on the minds of the congressman and his constituents, as it should be for all of us. And we'll also be discussing with him what is afoot in terms of our appointment, the appointment, I should say, of President Obama, of a new commander for Central Command, General Jim Mattis, what that means. And is it as good a thing as I think it is? We'll be talking with Congressman Franks about that. And then Gordon Chang has a fascinating development in a subject matter that is mostly ignored, but we're all going to be paying a lot more attention to it. Mark my words. Rare earth minerals. There's a new OPEC on the scene. It's called Communist China, and it's got control. It's got a stranglehold, really, on the world's access to rare earth minerals. So we'll be talking about that and North Korea a bit with Gordon Chang in segment four. But first up, I wanted just to share with you some thoughts about a real concern that I've had for some time about a particular part of the fundamental transformation of America that Barack Obama promised as a candidate and certainly has been delivering since he came to office some 18 months ago. We've mostly been thinking in this vein about the fundamental transformations that he's affecting to our private sector of our economy by, well, taking it over in the form of the stimulus bill, Obamacare, student loans, and now, depending on what the Senate does, perhaps the financial sector. I'm worried about another transformation, one that arguably will be even more momentous, namely changing the United States from the world's sole superpower, as we've long considered ourselves to be, to a nation that may require the permission, or at the very least the help of others, to project power around the world and to defend its interests, far-flung as they are. Now, the backbone of America's power projection capability is its capacity to get to a fight, or at least to distant locations, the fustest with the mostest, as General Nathan Bedford Forrest was wrongly credited with saying some years ago. In today's world, that capacity depends critically on airlift and aerial refueling tankers. In both areas, we have been the world's superpower, indisputably. Enormous airlift capacity, enormous aerial refueling capacity. Both are in jeopardy today. we have as the backbone, really, of the mainstay, I should say, of the airlift fleet is 59 C-5As, truly immense aircraft that can carry heavy equipment all over the world and do. These are aircraft that are 40 years old, and 22 of these huge planes are expected to be retired in the very near future, and the remainder probably not too long after, because they're simply prohibitively expensive to maintain and operate. And the only candidate for replacing them is the C-17, a much smaller but extraordinarily capable airlifter for both strategic, that is long range, and tactical, that is short range, applications. Unfortunately, the Obama administration has decided we're going to go out of the business of manufacturing those aircraft on the theory that we have enough and we don't want to spend any more money on them. Now, here's the rub. That's the only airlift of large aircraft production capability that we have in the United States. And we will have a choice here if we're not going to reverse the administration's decision, which Congress might do, it has in the past, of allowing that line to go down, which would be enormously expensive to reconstitute, if it could be done. There's an order in prospect to India, but it may not come online in time to avoid a shutdown, and it may just be that we go out of the business. In which case, if we're not just going to see a substantial reduction in our airlift capacity, we're going to have to rely on Airbus manufacturers, EADS, and or the Russians. Now, I don't think either of those is a very good idea. And the same is true, unfortunately, of tankers. The administration is trying to have a competition whereby we have a government-owned and operated company like EADS. And by the way, one of the governments involved is Russia, providing our aerial refueling capability for the future as the older aircraft that were bought in the Eisenhower era have to be retired. Again, crazy to have that kind of dependency. It's unfortunately a further indication, if we go that route and allow the only aerial refueling manufacturing capability in this country to go away, of a major blow to the industrial base upon which our defense sector critically depends for its preeminence and most especially for its capacity to project power where we need it around the world. I could go on and on. Time won't permit. We'll talk about some of the other areas in which this is happening in future programs. But suffice it to say for the moment, this is the antithesis of Ronald Reagan's strategy of peace through strength. You might call it peace despite American weakness, or hoping for it at least. Not likely to work out, likely to get a lot of us killed. I think that's a mistake. What do you think? Let me know. SecureFreedomRadio.com or Frank Gaffney Twitter or Facebook accounts. Next up, we'll be talking with the best-selling author Brad Thor about an intriguing story he's been following for all of us, the Russian spies. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at SecureFreedomRadio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. It's 888-393-7513.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We are joined for this segment by one of the world's great novelists, but a man who has devoted himself to a lot of other fascinating reporting and writing and commentary as well, and we're very, very pleased to have him with us from time to time here at Secure Freedom Radio. He is Brad Thor, the author of a brand new book, rocketing up the bestseller lists as we speak, Foreign Influence, and we'll be talking with Brad about that in a minute. But first, Brad, I wanted to commend you for one of your bits of investigative reporting and daring do on our friend Andrew Breitbart's BigGovernment.com site a couple of months back now, where you broke the story that the leader of the Taliban, Mullah Omar, had been captured or was being held in some fashion by our so-called friends in Pakistan. And I gather it's now been confirmed that that's true. And we're very anxious to hear what you know now about this story, what you can share with us about this story, and what you think it portends that this fellow, the Taliban leader, is supposedly in friendly hands.
Well, it's been interesting to watch this unfold. I had two separate sources confirm to me back in May that Mullah Omar had been rolled up at the end of March. And the timeline made a lot of sense because Mullah Omar's number two had been rolled up in February. And what's interesting is that coming out in the new media, if you will, you know, the New York Times can quote anonymous sources all day long and everybody takes it as gospel. But with me being on one of Andrew's big sites, it was brought into question, you know, well, who are his sources? How come he won't name them? Well, these are men and women who are actually in the field who have a lot to lose if they're named. So I broke that story May 10th about Mullah Omar, and since then there have been several other mill bloggers that have confirmed with their sources, and then we had Iranian television, and then recently we had Afghan television confirm this. And, you know, this was, we thought, a big, important story. Obviously, there's a lot of weight. There's a lot of consequences to this. And what's interesting is that recently, just in the last day or two, Pakistan has put out an official denial that they have Mullah Omar in custody. I happen to know a lot more about the Mullah Omar thing than I can actually say on the air with you now, because there's some stuff still developing. But what's interesting is that you watch the Pakistani denials. It's the same thing they did when they rolled up Mullah Omar's number two. They denied they had him at first as well. So I think as we go forward over the next month, we're going to see a lot more information come out here about Omar. But the Pakistanis, they run a big risk. They don't want to be seen as having rolled him up, because they'll get mass rioting across Pakistan.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating sort of microcosm of the larger problem we've got with the Pakistanis, the sort of double game. Are they really on our side? Are they working with us? Are they enabling us to take, you know, the debrief from Omar himself ourselves? I mean, all of these are very important questions, and what will happen as we go from here forward on the Obama administration's campaign to find moderate Taliban with whom we can do business will be very, very interesting. And so you've titillated us, Brad Thor, as you definitely traditionally do, with more to come, and we will be coming back to you as you roll out this additional information. But in the meantime, congratulations on getting the scoop in the first instance and standing by it. I know that you were under a lot of criticism and pressure initially. Next topic, if I may, you're in the intrigue business, as I say. Tell us what you make of this this Russian influence operation that was rolled up and then very, very rapidly rolled out right out of the United States. What's this really about?
Well, I think there's a lot more here. Listen, you cannot trust the mainstream media in their reporting. I mean, they really are foot soldiers for the Obama administration, and they've painted the ten Russian operatives that were kicked out and swapped in Vienna. They've painted them as Keystone Cops and so on and so forth. I think this is a lot more serious than the media is letting on. I mean, we got some very, very high-value people, and particularly the Brits did. In return for these people, they got a former Russian colonel who had been very helpful to MI6, giving them the names of undercover Russian operatives throughout Europe. There's another person, although he claims he was just providing open source information on nuke subs to a British front company that was actually run by the CIA. There's a lot of interesting people involved that we got in the trade here. And, you know, there's been some... All of this whole Russian operation was run out of the Russian mission at the United Nations in New York. And as a matter of fact, we had the number two Russian foreign intelligence operative in that agency, who was a colonel for the SVR. He defected to the United States in October of 2000. A lot of people have said, did he know about these sleepers, and did he have something to do with helping us get on their trail years ago, helping the FBI? Now, what's interesting is if you look, Major Garrett had a tweet not too long ago saying that the president and the National Security Council were briefed on these Russian spies back in February, and that the first time Obama, it was raised with him about a swap for these Russians that we wanted to get back for us in Great Britain, that was June 11th, and these spies weren't rolled up until the 27th. Now, what's also interesting is that that highly placed SVR operative that defected to the United States in October of 2000, he was found dead down in Florida on June 13th. Now, his wife has been really big about coming out and saying, hey, he died of a heart attack. We've had an autopsy done, presided over by the FBI. You know, I'd like to take her at her word on that, but the timing of his death 2 days after Obama finds out, I'm not saying Obama had something to do with it, but 2 days after it began being talked about in the White House about doing a swap, you know, were the Russians involved? Was it natural causes? You always have to question timing in this, but there's a lot of intrigue, and this story is not as simple as the mainstream media would like us to believe.
Yeah, well, we're talking with Brad Thorpe, the author of many intriguing stories, and this one may sound like a plot for a future book coming up, but we want to visit with you briefly. We've only got about 2 minutes left about the latest one that you have just put out called Foreign Influence, coming on the heels of, what is it, eight now that you've done in this series. Tell us briefly the plot line and why we better run out and get it.
Well, Foreign Influence is my ninth political thriller, and the idea for Foreign Influence came to me last year in a chat with Glenn Beck, where we talked about how we've dropped covert operatives into countries in turmoil to affect an outcome. And Glenn said, Brad, do you think foreign countries are doing that to us? And I said, definitely, Glenn, they are doing it to us. And I walked out of that interview, Frank, thinking that would make a great, great thriller. And as I looked into it and talked to intelligence contacts of mine, they said, Brad, it is a fantastic idea for a thriller, and you should look at something called unrestricted warfare. It was a plan developed by a foreign government to basically destroy the United States without ever having to meet us on the conventional battlefield. And I took a piece from that plan, a real-life plan, to craft my new thriller. It's the most exciting thing I've ever written, Frank, and I think that people are going to love this book, especially in light of what's happening in current events.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they're being made less fictional all the time, aren't they? Brad Thorpe, I think unrestricted warfare was a Chinese gambit. Let's stay tuned for that. I understand this one is dealing mostly with the Islamists, but we'll look forward to both further discussion with you of these topics and so much more. And thank you for joining us here at Secure Freedom Radio. We'll be talking to you again soon. Next up, we have Congressman.
Thank you.
Congressman Trent Franks is joining us next, and we'll be getting together with him on what's happening in the defense industrial sector and across the border. Is Arizona in the wrong or in the right? Stay tuned.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever.
Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
Or try to convince you that our product will give you
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle?
Ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We are talking in this segment with one of my all-time heroes on Capitol Hill, Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona, a ranking and very influential member of the House Armed Services Committee, and a man who has, I think, really distinguished himself in the Congress for his command of national security and homeland security issues more generally. So you're a go-to guy for us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Congressman, thank you again for joining us once more.
Well, thank you, Frank. I always wish you could introduce me everywhere I go.
I'd love to. Let's see what we can do. In the meantime, let's talk about a piece of legislation that you've introduced, I think just last week, trying to address the problem that you from Arizona are wrestling with, as are so many Americans, namely securing our border. Tell us a bit about your legislation and why you think it's necessary in light of the present state of affairs down there.
Well, Frank, it's called the National Border and Homeland Security Act. And if you look at the title carefully, it's got national security on both ends of it, because I believe that border security is intrinsically related to national security. I know you agree with that.
Yep.
I mean, when some of the past circumstances have occurred, it's pretty obvious. But, you know, we just arrested, or I should say the Mexican authorities arrested Jamil Nasser, a major Hezbollah leader here recently, south of our border, that it was pretty clear that he was intending to come here. And I would suggest to you that those intentions were probably not just for a vacation.
So didn't want to see Disneyland.
Yeah, that would certainly spice the place up.
Especially if he did what he would be inclined to do to Disneyland.
I'm afraid so. See, I'm afraid that that's the real issue with this administration. You know, I've accused this administration of a lot, and I've got to tell you, sometimes I get almost tired of criticizing the administration, but it almost seems like it's my patriotic duty, given the devastating policies that they continue to force on this country, and I'm really concerned about it. But border security is, you know, sometimes people relate it only to immigration. But, you know, Frank, if a guy like Nasser or some of his friends brought something across the border that really truly harmed this country in a big way, not only would it change our concept of peace in this country, but consider what it would do to our border policy and our immigration policy. I mean, I suppose almost martial law would be, you know, as far as on the border would be enacted, because, you know, one, as they say on the bumper sticker, one nuclear weapon can ruin your whole day. And I not to overstate anything, but I just feel like that we're taking a very lackadaisical approach there. And if we did secure our borders related to the potential of terrorist incursion, it would be very easy at that point then to know who is coming in and out of our borders for issues of immigration policy.
Yeah. Congressman Trent Franks, let me just drill down a little bit on your bill, and then we've got a couple of other things we want to talk about, so we can't go at great length on this. But
sure.
The president has told your colleague, Senator John Kyle, that he's not interested in doing anything about the border until he gets an amnesty for illegal aliens already here. He calls it a comprehensive immigration reform bill. But what are you calling for in this legislation that's a practical step that could be done now and make a material difference in both the border and homeland security?
Well, it does very quickly. First of all, it does call for the finishing of the fence. I know that that's controversial, but, you know, that's worked very well in Israel and other places. The fence is something that gives us a pivot point in a lot of different ways. It has some very significant implications for the border. Second, it does call for 6,000 more border patrol over a period of 3,000 the first year, and then over a period of a few years, a total of 6,000. That's not troops now. That's border patrol that would be there on an ongoing basis. And it calls for securing between checkpoints. You know, we don't have any of the nuclear detectors in those areas that don't have checkpoints in, and I doubt if someone really was going to, you know, bring in, you know, in a year or two or three, if Iran ever gains a nuclear capability, which, as you know, I'm desperately concerned about that, that we really don't have the detectors in the hands of Border Patrol agents to even do detection except at the checkpoints, and this would make that possible for them. And it also secure maritime areas and small aircraft. And, you know, it would just overall increase our general perimeter securities. And I just think that it's so very important, you know, for all the reasons mentioned, if indeed, as a lot of the experts say, that it's chemical and biological warfare that we should be most concerned about rather than nuclear, I would suggest to you that's enough reason.
Yeah.
But I'm also convinced that jihad wants to see either an EMP attack on our country or some sort of they want to see a mushroom cloud somewhere. Somehow I think that will be the only thing that will satisfy that evil impulse on their part to do damage to this country.
Well, unfortunately, as you know, the only thing that will ultimately satisfy them is our destruction, is our submission.
Correct.
But that's a waystone or a milestone, as they say. Congressman, very quickly, before we turn to the next topic, tell us in a minute, if you could, what your sense is of the state of play at the moment with respect to the law that Arizona has enacted trying to enforce federal law and is now being sued by the United States government over.
Well, the incredible irony, Frank, is that they're not suing us based on any notion related to racial profiling, as they've raved about constantly, because the bill in four different places says that you can't do any racial profiling. I mean, there's clearly legal prohibitions on it in the bill.
Yeah.
So what they're doing, of course, is they're suing us based on the notion that Arizona is preempting federal responsibility. And it's hard to argue with that, because that was essentially the predicate of the bill. The federal government was not acting on its responsibility, so the state felt like they had to. They seemed to have no option. So it seemed like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't in that situation. And I don't know. I think that the jury's out on which way this thing could go, because indeed, if the federal government were doing its job, you know, the bill wouldn't be necessary. But since they're not, then the state has stepped up, and that's what they're predicating the lawsuit on. So the irony is just thick in the air.
Indeed. Well, we will be watching as it plays out, and looking forward to your comments as it does. Let me segue. I had wanted to talk with you at some length about a very important topic, and I think we won't have time to do justice to it today, so we'll impose upon you to come back soon. And that is the work that you're doing in the House Armed Services Committee, trying to ensure that we don't hollow out our military once again, and the vital defense industrial base that enables it to do the kinds of work it does. But in the shortness of time we have left, Congressman Trent Franks, let me ask you about an appointment that was announced last week that I know you've been following with interest as well, namely that of General Jim Mattis to be General David Petraeus's replacement as the Central Command commander. What can you tell us about General Mattis, and do you think this is a good appointment?
Well, actually, I do think it's a good appointment. You know, it's one of those rare circumstances where Mr. Obama got it right. But General Mattis is a highly respected combat leader. You know, he led U.S. forces during the battle for Fallujah, and you know that was a very intense battle. He's a Marine general. He's very smart. He's aggressive, decisive. I mean, and he's a proven leader in combat, and he brings a great deal of credibility to the job. So it's hard for me not to just say all good things about him. He's been criticized for saying a few things that aren't politically correct. He suggested that shooting insurgents in Afghanistan who slapped their wives around for not wearing a burqa or a veil was fun. But the ultimate result of that, of course, there'd be fewer insurgents and ultimately fewer U.S. casualties. And I guess I'd rather have a man that thought through a situation and was willing to use the military force in a decisive way than a commander who was hesitant. And that puts, you know, General Mattis in charge of Afghanistan, General Ray Odierno. I'm sorry, I've got to say his name right. Odierno. I've flown around in helicopters with this man. He's a great general. It puts him in command in Iraq, and of course, General Petraeus in Afghanistan, and Odierno in Iraq.
Yeah. It's a great team, I think, is your point.
Yeah,
and
CENTCOM,
we're going to have to let it go at that. Congressman Trent Franks, thank you so much for joining us,
sir,
and for these insights into domestic as well as foreign national security matters. And thank you for your leadership above. Next up, we've got Gordon Chang talking to us about the latest developments out of North Korea and what it means for you. Straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with
it... You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid,
he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined for this segment by Gordon Chang, our go-to man on Asian matters and the implications of what's developing there for all of us. He also is someone you can tap into at GordonChang.com, Fox News, and also Forbes.com. And Gordon, as always, it's great to have you with us, especially with a very important story that we've been following a bit in the past with you, but that has taken a tremendously important turn, namely Chinese reductions in the export of rare earth minerals. Give us the backstory a little bit about their dominant position in that field and what the implications might be of this step.
China now produces 97%, maybe 98% of the world's rare earths. And this week, the Ministry of Commerce announced that it was cutting exports of rare earths by 72%. Now, rare earth minerals are used in M1A2 tanks, Arleigh Burke destroyers, every plane that we fly. And so what they're doing is they're not only strangling the U.S. military, but also the U.S. economy, because these rare earths are used in batteries, and so this is absolutely critical to the green tech sector. This is perhaps the most important news to come out of China in many, many months.
So we are, in other words, incredibly dependent upon communist China for both military and commercial activities. And what they've just told the world is that you're going to have to divide up between yourselves some 28% of what you previously were using in terms of these rare earth minerals, a competition that I imagine will get pretty ugly, especially if it has, as you say, bearing on the national security of the United States.
Yeah, this is a critical development. It's also what China is doing is clearly a violation of its World Trade Organization obligations, also its predatory mercantilist behavior, because what they're trying to do is to coerce every factory in these critical industries to move to China so they can get the rare earths. We got to remember that the U.S. was the dominant producer of rare earths until China started to subsidize its producers and drove every American producer out of business.
And as a result, the dominant position that they have, notwithstanding World Trade Organization violations, would seem to be something that they can at will determine to provide or not provide, and that if they in fact stick with this policy of withholding it, would indeed, as you say, transfer quite sensitive production capabilities there, especially when you combine it with the administration's push. This is my take on it. I've not talked about this with you, Gordon Chang, but my take on this idea of relaxing export controls is that far from increasing American jobs, it will simply mean that companies can take those very sensitive technologies that they manufacture here today and would not have otherwise been able to move offshore to places where they can reduce the costs of production, and like China. What do you think?
Exactly. This poses an enormous challenge to the United States economy in general and to these critical industries in particular. So this is something that is going to be, I think, at the front burner of our relations with China. You know, normally it looks like a sort of a minor matter, but when you think about the implications, not only for our military, but for our economy in general, you realize that this is where the game is going to be during the next decade, and the United States absolutely has to respond.
Yeah. And Gordon, just to bear in on this one more moment, what kind of response would you recommend, knowing China as you do?
Well, the first thing is the easiest, and that is the administration does need to file a World Trade Organization case against the Chinese. But I think we also need to build up our own rare earth capacity. We have a lot of the world's reserves. We just don't mine them. For instance, in California at the Mountain Pass mine, we can produce a lot of these rare earths. Obviously, we need to. And the Pentagon has a report coming out in September on the United States' dependency on foreign sources for rare earths. We don't need to wait till September. We already know what the answer is. We are dependent on a potential adversary. We've got to do something, not in September, but now.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned, Gordon Chang, this Mountain Pass mine, because I was fascinated a few years back, as you recall, when China was trying to buy Unocal. I was one of the few people who was raising an alarm about the fact that were they to succeed in that purchase, it wouldn't just be Unocal's oil reserves that they would be gaining access to, the control over, which were significant, needless to say, but it was also control of this facility, which is now, I guess, shut down still, but that would have been perhaps permanently shut down if it were up to the Chinese, as it might compete, as you say, with their dominant position.
And the Chinese are not only content to their own production. They are now buying rare earths deposits around the world, especially Australia. In Afghanistan, produces has in the ground a lot of the world's rare earths. The Chinese have already tried to exploit the Afghan mining sector with copper. Clearly, they're going to try to get Afghanistan's rare earths. And if the Taliban take over, that's a done deal between Beijing and Kabul. So clearly, this is a major area of geopolitical contention. We need to keep our eyes on it as a matter of first priority.
Yeah. And as you say, take some very practical near-term steps to try to mitigate it. Gordon Chang, we will be following this particular story with you intensively, as you're absolutely right. It is of the first order importance and certainly, unfortunately, still too poorly understood. Let me, in the remaining couple of minutes we have with you, segue to something I teased earlier, because I know you are one of the country's foremost monitors of North Korea, among other things, having written about it taking on the world. Gordon Chang, what should we make of the fact that the UN did slap its wrists, I guess you'd say, with the resolution adopted last week, and that now the North Koreans are indicating that they are willing to get back into the so-called six-party talks on their nuclear program, and they're willing to, you know, talk about the sinking of this South Korean vessel and so on. Is this a great new moment for all of us worried about North Korea?
Well, I wish it were a great new moment, but the UN Security Council was at its worst. There was no resolution, no sanctions, no condemnation of North Korea. This after more than 3 months after the North Koreans sank the Chonan, the South Korean frigate. Now the North Koreans have said they've turned over a new leaf. Although they deny sinking the Chonan, they are willing to talk to the UN command in Panmunjom. That was announced a few hours ago. Also, the North Koreans have indicated that they will go back to the six-party talks on denuclearization. We shouldn't get into this cycle again. Those talks have been completely non-productive since August 2003. And during the time of those talks, North Korea has just developed nuclear weapons and perfected their long-range missiles. We need to stop talking and start acting.
Yeah. And specifically, what would you recommend by way of action, Gordon Chang?
The first thing we need to do is to cripple North Korea's banks. The Bush administration in September 2005 went after a North Korean bank in Macau and really put Kim Jong-il on the back foot. North Korean diplomats had to ferry cash around in their suitcases around the world. Unfortunately, the Bush administration took these sanctions off too early, but if we continue them, we can bring the North Korean economy down. Right now, it's in a down phase anyway. We need to also do a lot more to interdict North Korean shipments of WMD materials and technology around the world. We've got to start on this, but we need to do much, much more.
Yeah. Well, this is, needless to say, why we value so much your counsel. Practical steps, not easy, but necessary. I think you're absolutely right. So, Gordon Chang, we will be talking with you about this further next week at the very latest. Thank you for joining us this week. And that's it for this installment of Secure Freedom Radio. I hope it has proven, as ever, useful to you in understanding what matters to your security and freedom and that of those you love. That's why we're here, and that's why we hope you will continue to come back. Until tomorrow, same time, same station, thank you for listening. This is Frank Gehry.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life.
Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.